Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, welcome to you, special you. I am Danielle Sachs, your host, and I am really excited because this is the end of 2023. We are in a festive mood, a festive season, and I have waited with this interview to present it to you because I think it is an important message. The whole show today, the whole conversation that I have with Paul Martinelli was recorded already mid-November, but I intentionally waited to share this interview with you because there is so much inside of this conversation that you can listen to three times to it. And I wanted you to listen to it in a moment where you have the time and the relaxed energy in the home, maybe even to listen to it as a parent, to listen to it as an individual, to listen to it in as a business person, in whatever way it is. But this conversation that I'm going to have just now with Paul Martinelli, and I'm not going to talk too much as in the intro because there is so much in the conversation itself that I'm going to introduce him very shortly. Paul Martinelli, we have met years and years and years ago, I think about 15 years ago already. And so Paul is an internationally acclaimed speaker, trainer, mentor, and coach who truly believes that if you can dream it, you can do it. And while many people know Paul as a founding president of the John Maxwell team and co-founder of the Cialdini Institute, what they may not know is that he is a high school dropout who overcame a stuttering disability to share the stage with some of the biggest names in leadership and personal development. Names such as John Maxwell, Seth Godin, Dr. Robert Cialdini, Chuck Canfield, Wayne Dyer, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Les Brown. So many people, beautiful souls who have come a long way from stress to authentic success. And so having built a seven multi-million dollar businesses himself with close to $1 billion in revenue, Paul may not have a wall of diplomas, but you can't argue with his PhD in life and in results. So having worked his way up from mud bucket to multimillionaire, Paul has practiced and proven what he preaches. And I'm a testimonial for that because, as I say, Paul has been my mentor. He still is one of my examples. I still follow his work every day. And I am not only pleased, but really honored to speak to him. And so, as I said in the beginning, I kept this conversation, this interview. I don't do this often, but I kept it because I want you to have the time and to really go into the full energy of this interview in this festive season. He is talking about so much that we can use in the new year 2024. And so I am going to speak to Paul Martinelli just now after this little break of commercial and music.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And I say every week how excited I am to talk to this wonderful expert from all over the world. But this week, I can really honestly say, Paul Martinelli, I am so honored, excited, and I so appreciate you taking time for this. Thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you, to reconnect and to connect with what, tens of thousands of people. I just love this. This is so awesome.
Well, and the show is called From Stress to Authentic Success. So my first question, Paul, is going to be, if you don't mind, quite personal around what has been your biggest stress in life?
Wow. Yeah, I think my biggest stress is overcoming the trauma of childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. It, you know, as a child, when you are physically, emotionally, verbally abused, mm-hmm. it creates a splinter in every part of you. And, wow. And if you're not, you know, so you know, I have intellectual splinters. I have spiritual splinters, certainly physical splinters. And if you're not intentional and deliberate about removing those, well, then we know what happens is you begin to marginalize and diminish and protect those parts of you, right? Which then prevents you from living authentically, right? And so the way that, you know, what's really interesting, and most people don't know about me, what's really interesting is I had started my first business, as you know, a commercial cleaning company. I was a janitor going door to door asking people if I could clean their office at night. And I was doing that for a number of years. And I came across my first mentor. I was doing everything this gentleman told me to do, but my business wasn't growing. I was stuck. Mm. And so he sent me to a psychiatrist. He sent me to a Lutheran minister who's a psychiatrist. So I sit down with the psychiatrist and I'm telling him about all the problems of the business, right? And when I was all done, he asked me a question that would change my life. He said, "Who do you need to forgive?"
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
And instantly I knew what he meant. Mm. And of course I lied. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, look, what you're talking about is when people say they're stuck, what they're saying is that there's an area of restriction. Restriction is a byproduct of resentment. Mm. So we have resentment towards people or past hurts or wounds. And then that restriction shows up in every area of their life. And he said, so you're doing everything right in the business and it's not growing. There's a restriction. Mm. Who to forgive? And I knew instantly. See, I growing up, I was physically and emotionally and verbally abused by my mom. And I had never healed from that. When he said that, I wanted to know how he found my tiny little box. You know, like, how did he know
how
that
did
I had?
How did he know? Yeah.
Did he know? Yeah. And so my first work really in personal growth was not goal setting. It wasn't purpose. It wasn't, you know, vision casting. Mm. It wasn't, you know, improving leadership or communication skills. It was forgiveness work, perhaps the hardest work because it's lifetime work.
Yes.
It's lifetime work.
Yes.
And so for me, I think that was the area of stress, was for years hiding it, hiding the wound, hiding the vulnerability, hiding the hurt. Mm. And then from then on, it was confronting it, accepting it, and then learning to forgive it. And, you know, anybody who's done forgiveness work knows it's never done, is it? Mm. It's never done. I can tell you that, you know, at the time that we're recording this, it's November 13th. In about a month, I'll find myself walking through a shopping mall in America and I'll see a mom with a little 5-year-old boy, Christmas shopping, going to see Santa or whatever it is. And I will instantly have all of those emotions triggered again.
Triggered again.
Mm. It's incredible.
Still after so many years.
Mm. After so many years and after really believing that I've forgiven and let go. Mm. But, you know, we're always dealing with energy. Everything is energy. Mm. All of our, we think of emotion, stress is an emotion. It's energy and motion. It's energy being expressed. Energy we know can't be created or destroyed. It never goes away.
And isn't that also, Paul, the inner child? That inner child is just such an important part of us, eh?
Yeah, and, you know, most people are unwilling to do the work to mm-hmm. connect and to do the healing that needs to be done. And so we see even highly successful people in parts of their life operating at what one would say would be the lowest level of awareness. Great. So you'll see successful business people who have relationships with children who don't talk to them, or who are successful people and they've got all the money in the world and they're spiritually void. You know, it's sad.
Wow. And so If the person who is listening to this and realizing that that is the kind of work certainly that they need to do, once that work, and like you say, it's never done, Paul, but right. How would you say to shift from stress, that first, those first steps, how did you do it after the forgiveness work? How would you say you get to that, closer to that authentic success?
Well, I know you're a student of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest level of leadership is self-leadership. But whether leading ourselves or leading a team, there is one responsibility the leader has, the most important responsibility a leader has. It's not vision casting for the team. It's not even modeling, you know, leadership. The first obligation, the top responsibility a leader has, is defining reality.
Wow.
You have to define what is. It's, you know, what good is it if I'm going to cast a vision for the future for my team if we don't know where we are, and if we're yes. unwilling to accept where we are? And how can you live authentically in your life if you're unwilling to define the reality of your life and really look at that and explore and enter into what I call observational thinking, where you really look at your life? And you know, the only way we shift our perception is by shifting our perspective.
Yes. Yes.
And that requires that we move. Mm. That requires that we get off of our position, off of what we believe, off of what we've accepted, off of what we've made agreement with in our lives. And I think until one does that, chasing authenticity is an elusive battle, right? And so I think the way we manage the stress into living our authentic life is we first have to deal with the realities of stress.
Mm.
And certainly in many cases, what most people do is they project and they take a situation that is stressful and then they assign meaning to it. You know, this, that. So for me, for years, you know, the story wasn't just that my mother beat me. I had to rectify that in my mind. And so I had to assign meaning to that she beat me because she hated me. She beat me because, you know, and whatever story we make up
scenarios,
in our lives.
Scenarios, yes.
Yeah.
The
and
movies.
So, we fail to declare noble intent on other people. And then doesn't that then build the model for stress and resentment?
Mm. Wow. I love that. And so is there, I mean, after all these years, you have been helping people from all over the world in your empowered living community. Can you tell a little bit for us what to you is empowered living?
I think when somebody's living an empowered life, certainly it's the degree of freedom to do what it is that you want to do and to live a life that is free of obligation and fear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how many people do things out of obligation and fear. And it's we've so marginalized it now that we don't even recognize it. So, you know, somebody's going to lunch with somebody because they have to.
Yes.
They feel obligated to,
expectations.
Absolutely. Look here, you know, coming up in just a couple of weeks here, in about 10 days in America, is probably the biggest holiday in America outside of the 4th of July. It's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And there will be people who will only have maybe 20 of these left in their life. Only 20 of these holidays left in their life. And they'll spend it with people that they don't like.
I know.
Out of obligation. You know, we're going to go over to these people's house, or we're going to have these people over because of some, you know, obligation of tradition, or, you know, And we've fallen into this trap of living a life of obligation. How can you ever be empowered? Mm-hmm. So I think first, an empowered life is us being able to authentically live our life free from fear and obligation. And then I think the only way you stay empowered is that you help other people. You can only keep that which you give.
I love that so much. It's
so true,
part of, it's even as a grandmother, that's still today what I feel is, you know, is really the base, the basic. It's like a foundation for fulfillment.
Yeah, It really is. It really is. And so, you know, I think what we're doing in the Empowered Living Community is cultivating an environment that allows people to begin to live authentically without judgment, without fear, without obligation.
In alignment, is that what you mean? Like in alignment with who they truly are. Oh, yeah. I found that so beautiful.
Mm. And you know, it's a scary walk, isn't it? It's a scary walk.
Out of the comfort zone, for sure.
Oh. Well, all growth takes place outside the comfort zone. And so, you know, we've got, you know, on the main page, the big public page, I think there's 2.3 million followers. Mm. And then there's kind of a closed group of community of practice, people who are, you know, coaches and speakers and trainers and therapists and counselors, people who would identify themselves as agents of change. There's about 35,000 of them from all over the world. And so it's this environment, it's this community that allows people to enter into the practice of life and give it a go.
Wow. And are you saying that it's by empowering others that you're empowering yourself?
I think it's the only way you empower yourself, isn't it? Mm. By giving it away. You can't give that which you don't have. And so you have to have it first. And then once you have it, you have to allow it to overflow out of you so that more can flow into you.
Wow.
It's the beautiful law of reciprocity, isn't it?
Mm. Is there a quote that you stand by? I mean, there are many, of course, hey? We all know about energy. And is there a quote and a statement that you live by that you would say to the two boys that, you know, that are in your life today? Is there something that you would like to say to that next generation, something that you stand by?
There's two. One is by Dr. Viktor Frankl. You know, Dr. Viktor Frankl, living in Auschwitz, Jewish psychiatrist. You couldn't imagine a worse, humiliating, degrading, physically awful. And yet in this environment, he had the awareness to say that between stimulus and response lies man's greatest freedom.
Oh, yeah.
The ability to choose one's attitude. That no matter what beating they took, no matter what humiliation they suffered, beyond the starvation and the brutality of that environment, the Nazi regime could not control their thinking. The second is by Eric Hoffer, who wrote the book, The True Believers. And he said, and listen to how powerful this statement is. And as you think of this, when you really grasp it, you think, wow, it's the brilliance in it. He said that no matter what our achievements may be, no matter how successful we've been, no matter what our achievements may be, we think well of ourselves only in rare moments.
That's true.
That we have within us an inner judge that keeps a book of our shortcomings and our transgressions. And we need other people to bear witness against that judge to show us that we're not as bad as we think we are.
Oh, Paul, I see that. You too. I see it in my practice every day. How destructive it can be.
It's the life condition, isn't it? It's the condition.
Very sad. So that's why that next generation, and I see it in my grandchildren, how important it is to give them that worthiness, that birthright of being exactly who they are. And they are enough. They just, it's so beautiful to see. But it's so destructive when you see the education system and everything. It's not an easy task, okay, today.
There's two things I take as a stepfather, but father, I mean, the boys are my heart, that I make sure I do every day. Two guiding principles that I think every adult who has the responsibility over children, two children and four children, should do. Number one is raise them so adults like them.
Wow.
I was recently traveling up to Virginia, and I was in an airport, and there was this 6-year-old girl with mom and dad. And we were in the first class lounge. And the word that comes to mind is brat. She was a brat. And you could feel the disdain from every adult, that the adults in the room didn't like her.
The energy. They didn't like that. Yeah. I can see.
So here's this little 6-year-old girl who was, her behavior was that of a brat.
Hmm.
She was ungracious. She was unkind. You normally see a little girl, you just, your first is, you know,
you open your heart.
Mm. That's right. And mom and dad failed to discipline her. So she would, here's a room full of adults, and, you know, she's walking around like a terrorist holding the remote control. Right. So she shuts the TV off, and mom and dad don't correct her. So none of us are going to correct the child. You know, we're not going to, you know, what are we going to pick a fight? You know, right? She goes over and starts touching people's plates, touching people's things. And mom and dad do nothing. They don't love her enough to discipline her.
I agree.
And so
I was just going to say that. Yeah. It takes a lot of love and courage, eh?
It's a hell of a lot easier to sit on your ass and let them behave poorly.
Mm.
It takes effort to like discipline the child. So number one, I make sure that every single day I'm making sure that I'm raising the boys in a way that adults would like them.
Great.
Eye contact, you know, a smile, talk to the adult about something other than your toys, about you and what you know, so I don't want them to have, you know, long conversations with adults about Pokemon. You know, I want to teach them to be able to be interested in other people and put other people's interests first and explore.
Mm. They have such an imagination as well. You know,
such
beautiful conversations with them.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Mm. So I think we want, you know, number one is, you know, raise them so that so that adults like them. And second is, my job is to bear witness against their inner judge.
Wow.
So to really listen to their language. So when they say, I can't, or I'm not, and I'm this and I'm that, when they're hurting themselves.
And they do.
All day long. Mm-hmm. My job is to bear witness against that inner judge that's keeping this book of their transgressions and their shortcomings. And to bear witness and for them to see their genius, their giftedness, their excellence, and to not shy away from it, and not to play the humility game, but to play the awareness game and claim their greatness.
Wow. Powerful, hey?
Yeah. What a, you know, and I can see why so many parents don't do it, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. You got to be on. You got to be active. You got to be engaged.
Yeah,
it's hard.
It takes a lot of energy, hey?
Yeah,
and a lot of commitment, a lot of perseverance, a lot of, because, yeah.
And you're tired and you're stressed and you've got all the stresses of work.
I agree.
Stresses of a marriage and the stresses of a parent and the stresses of just all the stress, everything.
Mm.
It's hard work.
And do you find the difference for you that being in the age that you are now compared to being in your 20s or early 30s, a parent, do you think that makes a difference stress level wise? I do believe it makes a difference.
Well, it's why grandparents are so great.
Yes. Thank you.
Because you're more mature.
Yes.
You're more mature. You're, you know, I'm going to be 58 in January. I would have been terrible at this in my 30s. Mm.
I made so many mistakes, Paul.
I couldn't even imagine. Sure, she did. Course she did.
But that's the process and that's the journey. Yeah. And one does not make the same mistakes as a grandmother, for sure. You know,
it's so beautiful.
That's a second chance. It's like a second chance and to practice your awareness that you've gained over the years. And that's what you do. All the awareness that you've gained, you are giving it to these boys, which is, they are so lucky. Do they realize how lucky they are?
Yeah, I believe they do. I mean, they're thriving. It's interesting. We have them for 8 weeks, and then they go back to Canada with their dad for 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so their dad does the travel. That's part of our agreement is, you know, we'll pay for the flights. He does the travel. And the first time he was bringing them down, he was in a hotel. And, you know, so he came down, dropped the boys off, and then went to stay in a hotel. And I texted him. I said, you know, where are you? And he said, well, I'm at the Marriott. I said, no. You're staying here. It's critically important that, first off, your boys see you as their dad and me as their stepdad.
Yes.
And I want to get that dynamic right. So when you come, you know, like, I'm going to get you your coffee in the morning. I'm going to serve you. And I want them to see you as their dad.
Mm.
That's critically important. Second off is I want them to be able to see that, you know, we all get along, that there is. And I also want
living
them to
by example, isn't it? You're giving an example that they are going to copy in whatever situation they are going to be later on. Mm.
Yes. And I also want them to see that there's nowhere they can hide, that there's no daylight between us, right? Okay. That the way I parent them when they're with me, their dad knows how I'm parenting them too.
Great.
Because, hey, let's face it. Children do what everybody in this world does. And that is they get their wants and their needs met by manipulating, influencing, controlling the people, the conditions, the circumstances, and the environment they're in. That's what they do. And if they think that they could play him off of me and me off of him and their mother off of us, they'll do it, right? They're young, but they're geniuses, right? They're masters of manipulation and influence.
I know.
And so I want to show them there's no daylight between us, you know?
Love it. Now, back to From Stress to Authentic Success. I think this is a beautiful conversation because it entitles all generations. And I love that, you know, for the next generation, we've learned our lessons. I'm 62, almost, 63 next year early. So, you know, it's beautiful when we can, you know, contribute to that next generation. I really love that. But for anyone listening to this show, Paul, and being stuck, apart from the forgiveness thing, being stuck, we talked a little bit about that. What would you, and maybe let's talk maybe a little bit about business, purpose, doing what you love, because you're quite strong in that, hey? Hold your image, being the person that you visualize yourself to be. Can you elaborate a little bit on how one who feels at this moment like stuck in purpose in the next phase, and what do I really want? What would you say there that is an important step or advice or tip?
Sure. So, I think that everybody knows their purpose. They may lack the awareness of it.
Mm.
We may hide from it because our purpose forces us to be called out to our greatness, forces us to change who we are and our habits. And, you know, here's what I found that there's four conditions necessary for stress to take hold. Okay. And these are triggers for us to build and create stress. They're triggers for us to be vulnerable, to have stress attached to us.
Mm.
And they're models through which stress operates as kind of a neuro network. And so whenever we are in one of these four behaviors, we're going to find ourselves in stress and then living the life that we call stuck. Okay. And so the first one is where we jump to conclusions, right? We jump to conclusions. And so what we do is we say, you know, this means that, right? They did this because, right? This means that. So we'll misread an email. We'll misread somebody's tonality, you know, whatever it is. So the first thing is that we jump to conclusions and we assign a meaning to thing. We operate from our deductive mind rather than inductively. Deductively is where we jump to, where we start with the conclusion and then find the independent facts. Deductively is we look at things independently and then we come to a conclusion. The second thing is once we've jumped to a conclusion, then what we must do is we, what I call MSU, is where we make stuff up. This means that because, and then we create this story because she doesn't like me because I was able to do that. Right. And you see that that's just, and then what happens is we have to be the caretaker of this story. We have to carry the burden of this means that. Talk about stress. I mean, if we're talking about rising to levels of achievement, you know, if we wanted to climb the mountain of success, we certainly wouldn't burden ourselves with more things to carry. The third thing we do is we fail to declare noble intent. Okay. Right? And so not only do we assign meaning and make a story up, we then assign intent. So then there's no hope for reconciliation. There's no hope for grace. There's no hope for forgiveness. We seal our fate. And then the fourth is one that we see and hear all the time. And it plays out in varying degrees as all things do. You'll see people who say, you know, so they go to a restaurant and they get their order wrong. And they say, you know, every time I come here, they get, well, then why do you, you know, every time I fly this airline, they lose my, well, why are you flying it? Right. And we create this pattern where we look to be offended. We look to be hurt.
We make it up already up front almost. We create our own reality up front already.
And so if we really look at stresses, look, stress is an everyday common thing. And in most cases can be cleared energetically pretty easily. But what we do is we then add these four components. We jump to conclusions. This means that we start assigning meaning. We make stuff up, right? We fail to declare noble intent. And then we're now we've got a pity party. I spent the first half of
my year. I'm the victim.
Until I was 25 years old, I was a master at telling the pity party story. You know, I would hear Paul is the poor victim of a child abuse and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the violins would begin to, they'd follow me, right? And I could have you feel sorry for me. And there was a payoff for me in doing that, right? There was a reward in it for me, you know? It certainly couldn't be my fault. Right. And so, you know, I would wake up every single day and say, you know, who's the matter with me today? who's the matter with me today? It was never me. Always had to be somebody else. Right. And so I think part of the way of dealing with stresses so that we can live this truly authentic life of achievement is we have to go back and define reality. We have to be willing to call ourselves out. We have to realize that in all of these stresses, the common denominator is us. And, you know, maybe what we need to do is make an appointment with the mirror and really have a real you to you conversation.
I agree.
And, you know, if you're not willing to really
do that.
You know, Socrates said, you know, the unexamined life is a life unworth living. Pretty powerful.
So that's what you help people do as well? Is that what you do in your programs, in your in your community? Because I know you believe, I mean, I did with you the study of Think and Grow Rich, for example, you know, which is, oh, it is, so, it's all of that. I mean, it encompasses a lot, I found. It's a beautiful, so is that your purpose in life to make people realize all of these things? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, if I could define myself as anything, I think it's an awakener.
Oh, beautiful, Paul.
You know, really? So one of the things that I do when I mentor people, because, you know, potential is one of those things that you don't see in yourself. You see in other people, but you can't see yourself. Mm. And, you know, and we all have blind spots, and they're called blind spots because we can't see them. And so we need other people. And what I do in my private mentoring is I work with people. And as I'm mentoring them through life, well, what happens is life shows up and there's a condition that happens. There's a circumstance that happens. And within that problem, my job is to help the person tweezer out the solution and to find out where, everything's created twice. And it showed up in your life. Mm. And here's what I found is I found that the content of our life is the curriculum of our evolution.
Ooh.
The content of it. So what's showing? So this stress that has shown up in your life is content. Mm. If you know what curriculum is a pattern of intentional learning. To take that content and in a highly organized, structured way, use it to evolve to
evolve
the next
and to expand
next level of learning. And so the content of your life is the curriculum through which you will evolve. This stress, that which seems to be your biggest curse, is truly your best blessing.
Yes,
because it's come to awaken you.
Mm.
Now, there's lots of people who have content that don't evolve. And then just like in school, if you fail the curriculum, you repeat the grade. Mm. And we see people in their 60s repeating mistakes of their 30s. They've never learned, they've never evolved through the content of the curriculum of their life.
I agree.
So what I do with people is when I'm mentoring them, I mentor them typically for 6 to 12 months because you need that much time in order for, you know, for the stew to cook.
I agree. It's a journey. You can't do that. And there's no magic pill. You know, it's a process. It's a journey. Yes.
Exactly right. And what happens for people, you know, people who work with me typically first come to me because they're looking to make more money.
Mm.
And they think that what I'm going to do is really help them, you know, work on their business. And I will. However, I can give somebody all the right answers, but if the same broken person,
I agree,
it doesn't work, right?
I'm so pleased you say that, you know, because it's the inner work, it's the inside
the
out, you know,
it's the work you do with your clients.
Yeah,
and
I would
encourage everybody, you know, you're not listening to this show by accident. Mm. You've got one of the masters of thought who leads the show. Reach out to her and have her speak into your life. You will be well served.
Mm, thank you so much. Paul, I just wanted to mention that. Do you remember that you are even on the book cover of my book?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So many years ago, I asked you, you know, so, and that was shifting out of chronic stress. It was all about stress and you were commenting on that. So we've come such a beautiful way. So I just trust that this is not the last time that I'm going to speak to you. I'm sure we're going to, you know, do this maybe again next year. Or if there's something that you want to promote or something that you want to talk about that is really dear to you, so please let me know. And thank you so much for accepting this. Is there one word, one little sentence or a word that you want to finish off with?
You know, I think that one of the things that most people fail to recognize is that when a possibility comes into your awareness beyond what your conditions and circumstances say you could have, that is not a state to be created. It is the shadow and reflection of what already is done in the mind of God.
Wow.
So the good you seek is already done. Your job now is to raise your voice to your oneness with.
Oh, thank you. Let's close with that. I'm going to come back to the audience just now after this little break. Thank you, Paul Martinelli. You are in my heart and you know that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Whoa, welcome back, and thank you for listening in again. And I promised you this would be a really rich, authentic, personal and vulnerable conversation. And oh, it was just that. And so I'm going to give a little outro here because there's so much in this conversation. And just to let you know that the first thing Paul was telling us was about that trauma. And in his case, it was a lot of abuse that created a splinter in every part of him. And I really loved that because it is true that we do have to remove these splinters. We do have to work on our traumas, on whatever happened to us in the past. And he calls it this first work in going from stress to authentic success. For him, it was forgiving. And I know that forgiveness work is a huge thing. But to forgive, indeed, we need to see when we are stuck, when we are in that restriction, in that contraction, we need to go and take responsibility in defining reality of what is, knowing and accepting exactly where you are, shifting your perception and really looking into the mirror and seeing what is. And that is a really important thing that I see with my clients every day. The work in the mirror is one of the most important things that you can do. And living authentic success is like living an empowered life, is like living a life free of obligation and fear, of course, because it's the fear, the obligation and the judgment, as he was talking about our inner critic, that is just limiting us, keeping us small, keeping us stuck, keeping us in stress. And so there were a few quotes that he was giving out of Viktor Frankl, out of the book of True Believers. There's a lot in this conversation that you and I can go back to and listen in again and really take, you know, our lessons out of this interview. Because even the guiding principles for a parent to raise your children so that adults like them and to raise your children to really make them believe their uniqueness, their greatness, instead of listening to the inner judge language. I think all these things are just so important. And every day with my clients, I do agree with Paul that it is so easy for us. The stress is mainly done by making, jumping to conclusions, giving a meaning, assigning a meaning, making up a story and the burden of it, and then assigning intent with which, and pity yourself and making yourself the victim and creating a pattern where we get hurt because it's always somebody else out there. And I do it in my 7-step process with taking responsibility for yourself and examining your truth with honesty. So those first two steps are really, really important. And I thank Paul Martinelli for this beautiful conversation. To finish off, just a little note with a wish for you and your loved ones for this festive season 2023-2024. May you have the courage to look into the mirror. May you free your mind of fears, doubts, and judgments. May you fill your heart with love, compassion, and kindness. May you feel your body in total relaxation, balance, and health. And may you fulfill your soul by living out of authenticity, passion, and purpose. That's me for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.